Welcome to the Digital Agency Pros Podcast with Andrew McBurney, your host of Digital Agency Pros. In this podcast, we sit down and talk to CEOs, founders, and professionals in the marketing world and talk shop all things related to building an agency and marketing. All right, let's get into it.
Hey guys, welcome to another show. And in today's show, we got Rob. And Rob is a freelance writer and SEO consultant who specializes in the tech and finance industry. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Oh, hi, thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah, awesome to have you. So tell us, Rob, how did you get to where you're at? So you're not running a agency per se, you're a one-man show, you're kind of that solopreneur approach. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm not huge on managing other people, so I decided just to go it on my own.
Okay, that's cool.
I come from a journalism background, so I was doing that until 2011. And then I just decided to, I could probably make more money doing freelance stuff, getting into the business writing. So I decided to jump out of the journalism ship and into business writing.
That's interesting. Did you find that was it kind of like you kind of looked at the writing on the wall and you're like, okay, I got to go digital with this thing. Okay, there's a lot of websites going up. Like I know locally here, a lot of people who work for newspapers and that sort of thing. A lot of them have become content writers now and they're doing quite well. But like at the time, it was all a lot of kind of doom and gloom. Did you experience that with your journalism background?
Yeah, well, I kind of got into journalism right when the internet, like the public internet, was sort of taking off. And newspapers were very slow to catch on to the internet. And then, of course, there was 2008, 2009, you know, the big economic crash. And the bottom just fell out, especially like small town Canadian journalism just went down the toilet. So it wasn't so much writing on the wall as being like, you know, having it screamed in your face, like you need to get out of this. Go do something where you can make some money.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's one way to hear about it, right? That's interesting. And so that happens. And then how did you come to be like, okay, there's this whole world out there. I can be my own boss. I can be a freelance writer. Like, how did you even know that these businesses needed content in the first place?
I actually didn't. I sort of fell into freelancing completely by accident. I went and made an account on Upwork. And at first I was doing just transcription work, which is horrible. Never get into transcription. That's terrible. But I was earning just pennies doing transcription work. And then I was like, wait a minute, like I'm a writer. I can probably give, you know, these businesses something better than transcription work. So I just started bidding on jobs and eventually built up my portfolio. And then, yeah, just took it from there.
That's cool. I've heard of a handful of people start their careers on Upwork, and I never tried that personally. I've only ever been on the hiring side on Upwork. But what was that like? Like when you were first starting out, was it like, were you able to kind of get some exposure because you were able to like bid on price? Like what, like how did you get those first few clients through the door on Upwork?
I just bid really low. I went for a very low hourly rate, like $10 an hour. I think is what I started at. And then I just built up a portfolio from there. Anyone who's looking to get into freelancing, I'd say something like Upwork is good to get started, to build up your portfolio. And then you can jump off once you have that built up and you can just start sort of marketing yourself. It's just easy to start with on a place like Upwork.
Yeah. They definitely make it convenient because it's a nice marketplace and whatnot. And that's interesting to hear that you, like, it sounds like you're essentially being underpaid. You're probably delivering much higher quality work, and it sounds like you had much more capability than the type of work you were doing as well. So when it came time to make that transition, did that stay on Upwork or did you go off of Upwork at that point?
No, I got off Upwork as soon as I could, because the thing about Upwork is they also take 20% of what you make. A lot of the hirers don't even know that, how much the freelancers are actually giving away on Upwork, but they take like a 20% chunk. So yeah, this, it didn't start out that way. Back when I started on Upwork, it was only 5 to 10%. And I was like, yeah, that's, you know, okay for the help pay for the service. But when it went up to 20%, I was like, okay, I'm losing a lot of money here. I got to like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even as the hirer, like we get, we feel. Yeah. Oh, sorry. It skipped out there. I thought you'd stop talking. Could you repeat that last sentence that you said?
I knew once it went up to 20% that I had to like get off Upwork and start marketing myself and bringing in my own clients.
Gotcha. Okay. Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And like, I definitely have realized that, noticed that from the hiring side as well. Like it's, you see that, like you get hit with fees on both ends. It's not just you guys. So like they're, but at the end of the day, they are kind of the like they own that relationship. Right. And yeah. So when you went off of Upwork, was it like word of mouth? Like, did you already have enough people kind of that knew like and trusted you that you could kind of like easily make that transition? Did you start marketing? Like, what did that look like?
I actually joined this, I guess you'd call it a forum, the Freelance Writer's Den. And mm-hmm. they take you through, they'll train you to go on LinkedIn and use LinkedIn as your main sort of marketing vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually took a few courses on marketing and stuff. Like I recognized my weaknesses, which was marketing myself. So I did take a few courses on that, which helps. I view it more as an investment. You know, you pay the $300, you take the course, but you easily make that back in like one or two clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's cool. So in the Writer's Den, they taught LinkedIn outreach. Is that right? As a marketing tactic?
Yeah, it was a whole course that I took an SEO, I think, writing course through the Writer's Den. And then mm-hmm. as part of that payment, you get to be a member of the forum, and then you can take their other courses. And some of those are like LinkedIn marketing. They're really big on like LinkedIn because it's based, you know, it's like Facebook for business. So it's
right.
an easy way to get leads and get yourself out there.
Gotcha. That's awesome. And are you still using like LinkedIn Outreach to this day, or is that something you've moved past?
No, I think LinkedIn is probably, I don't know if it's the best way, but I think like it's a good way if you're looking for business leads. Theoretically, everyone on LinkedIn is there to do business. So mm-hmm. if you're pitching on LinkedIn, it's not like people are surprised or whatever to get your pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's LinkedIn. It's a business site.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are you using, actually, I'll tell you my thoughts on this first. So like I'm really big on automation, but LinkedIn is one of the platforms that I have been terrified to automate because of just all the horror stories of people getting their accounts shut down from it. Have you ever looked into automation? Is that something you guys do or you do?
Not at the moment. I actually haven't heard those horror stories, so you're making me nervous now. But no, I don't do a lot of automation when it comes to marketing, although I should probably gotcha. Free up a lot of my time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely helpful, but yeah, the LinkedIn, they seem to police it quite well, where you just hear people's accounts getting like limited or shut down or whatever. So I've never personally risked it, but I've never truly jumped in either, but it is definitely an area where a lot of agencies can benefit from, and a lot of people just haven't crack that code on LinkedIn. So why don't you talk a bit about your process and how you acquire clients through LinkedIn?
A lot of it's just like pitching, kind of cold pitching, and you add people as connections and form a relationship with them, as tenuous as it might be. And then, you know, say, oh, hey, I noticed you might need these services. I happen to offer these services.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of the way I was taught to do it in that course, where you don't want to just like jump right in and try and sell, but you want to get, you know, it's all business is all about relationships, right? So just making those relationships. And then once you have that established, just like gently introducing your services, like, oh, hey, by the way, I offer these services that I think you might need.
Right. I love that. Yeah, that's such a big point. Like, there are a lot of people out there who like pitch on the request. And in my opinion, there's no class there. That's, I'm sure it works. So, like, just like cold email spam, right? Like, if you send out 1,000 emails a day and you manage to hit the inbox of people that may kind of need your product, you probably make a sale every once in a while, but it won't be effective. It's going to dilute your, or dilute your brand integrity. Like, there's better ways about it. And I love the fact that you're going into it with that relationship in mind. Now, whenever you send that, so that initial request, what kind of things are you saying there? Like, are you just like, hey, I'm an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur, let's connect? Or like, is it like, are you doing research and there's more substance to it? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's important, I think, to do at least a little bit of research. Like, you should at least go look at their website and look at their profile. And then in your initial message, like, mention something that you would only get from having read their website or profile.
Mm.
To prove that you have, you know, you are interested in them and you've like researched them a little bit. I think that's super important to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think the, like, I've just gotten to the point where like, if somebody sends that generic response, like, you're almost, in my opinion, if you're sending me a request personally, like, you're better off just sending me no message with the request and just the request, versus a generic canned response where it's just like, that's obviously just copy and pasted. And but no, it's really interesting because there is that whole it's an art being able to build a relationship with a stranger on the internet, and it's one that pays very well once you get it down. Starting out, was that something you struggled with? Like, was there a point in time where you're like, oh, I gotta get clients, like, I'm suffering? Like, did that ever hit you?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's hear about the feast and famine cycle with freelancing. It's very real. Some months you just have more clients than you know what to do with, and other months, you know, it's like a desert. Always tried to get like consistent clients. One of the things that I struggle with is when I have a lot of work, then I tend to get lazy with like the outreach and the marketing. So like, oh, I'm busy, I have lots of work, but obviously that's not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also, I've also been trying to get into retainers more rather than like per piece work or whatever, because that comes and goes. But if you're on a retainer and you have that agreement for like 3 months or 4 months or whatever, then, you know, it makes things more stable.
Yeah, I definitely found that too, where like you just get those handful of retainer clients, because that was my model that I ran when I focused on SEO, not necessarily content writing, but that was part of what we did. And that really smoothed over all those low points, because there were some times where it's like 45 days would pass and you're like, I haven't signed a single new client, right? And you start, and it's, even with the retainer model, if that much time goes, you're like, oh, like this client dropped off after their 6 month contract, and you're like, I feel that, right? And so I think it's smart that you're even when times are really good, that you still get out there, you still prospect, you still, even if you're not closing deals, you're setting up those deals for the future.
Yeah, I use a lot of you had mentioned automation before, and I do use templates for my messages, which I suppose is kind of automation. But there's always like spaces where you put in like information that is pertinent to whoever you're talking to.
Right, right. That's cool. Yeah, one of the first, I think it was a company with 9 locations for our software company. We were just doing like just blanket requests. And then our first lead through LinkedIn came just through some guy who was like literally in market right now talking to a bunch of our competitors. And we hit him at that exact time. So it's like, it's interesting how that works, where sometimes you can kind of get that, like that just in time lead, or other times, like you're really coming up with these personalized messages and you're kind of like starting that connection and you're kind of running with it. Now, outside of LinkedIn, is there anything else you're doing to bring in a business to the door of new clients?
Well, I'm not much of a social media guy, but I'm trying to sort of get out of my comfort zone and put myself out there, like doing this podcast, for example. So yeah, things like that, just getting my name out there. Probably have to look into maybe doing some paid ads at some point as well.
Okay, that'd be interesting. Yeah. Now with your offer, so do you work with agencies as well as small businesses? Or are you exclusively with small businesses? Like, what does that look like?
Usually small businesses. I have worked with agencies, and I do work with agencies. Oddly enough, I've worked with a lot of quote unquote agencies who are also just one person operations. And they say that they provide content writing services, but then they'll like outsource it to a freelancer like me. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of that kind of stuff, but I try and stick with small to medium businesses. I don't know, if you get mm-hmm. too small, it's all about budget. And I can understand that. So I mm-hmm. try and like a step above like a startup, I guess, where they're sort of established and they have some budget. So it's not all about like getting it as cheap as possible.
Yeah. I learned that early on, whereas like, if they're going to like, if it's like either like food on the table or their marketing budget, like just pass that client, like move right, on, yeah. Come back a few years later when they're more established. And that's tough too. Cause like, especially when you're starting out and, or anybody's starting out, it's like, that's where the majority of leads are. They're people with little to no budget who desperately need help and they can't afford it, until you kind of figure out, like how to get involved and how to get referrals and how to drive traffic and that sort of thing, and reach the more qualified people that are busy working on their business. So they're not out there looking for these things necessarily.
Yeah. That's why I started so low when I was just starting out, it was like $10 an hour just to get some clients, just to get my name out there and build a portfolio. But you know, once you get past that point, then you can start looking for better clients.
Yeah, definitely. Now you're running a one-man team, and you did mention that, or at least you alluded to maybe that building a team isn't on your radar, but is that something you're planning on doing one day? Like, do you actually want to build an agency, or do you want to continue down the freelance path?
No, I've never really been interested in building an agency. I keep hearing online, the people who teach the courses and stuff, they're always talking about a six-figure income, and they don't have agencies. I'm like, oh, I should be able to do that.
Yeah, a six-figure, that's not that much money, right? That's like, what, $8,000 a month?
Yeah.
That's just buzz to sell people. But yeah, like once you get into business, like at the end of the day, that's not that much money, especially if you're running a service where it's like you can, like there's so many businesses that need what you do, right? If you're selling content, like there's like, the internet runs on content, right?
Yeah, content is king.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It has been.
Now, with your content, are you writing like full websites, like brochure style websites? Is it like e-commerce listings? Are you doing blog posts? Are you writing social media content? What does that look like?
Mostly website content and blogs, but really like in-depth SEO type blogs. I started out writing just like the very short, you know, 500 word pieces, but now I like getting more and like more in-depth articles, like 1,000-2,000 words.
Right.
And a lot of website content. I don't do social media. In fact, I used to do social media for clients, but I ended up a couple times where I'd be like writing social media posts for companies, say like down in California or something, and like I'm up in Winnipeg, like I can't relate. I always tell clients, like, if you yourself can't run your social media, at least get someone in your area who can reference like the local points and stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about all the beaches from Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, don't get someone on the other side of the continent to run your social media, because it's going to be inauthentic.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. And then in terms of like, so when you look at like let's say that somebody's building a new website and they need content, right? There is more than just the words on the page. There's also like the strategy behind it. Like, why are you choosing the words, and where are you placing those words in the different format, and like all that sort of stuff. But then there's also like the images and that sort of thing. Do you typically plug into a team to bring that whole thing together with like a graphic designer, a brander, a developer, or do people just come to you and they're just like, hey, we just need this stuff written, and then you give it to them? Like, what does that look like?
there's always the conversation with clients about, should you have the content first or should you have the site design first? Mm-hmm. Personally, I like to have the site design first because as a writer, it's my instinct to write in paragraphs, like write in article form if I don't have anything that I'm fitting into. So if I have the site design, I know, okay, there's like a little paragraph here, there's a blurb here, there's some headlines down here. I know where everything slots into it. Mm. But I have heard some clients will be like, oh, the designer says we should have the content first. So we get into those conversations.
Yeah. And that's definitely the camp that I came from, where, because I'm a big believer in not putting a word anywhere just to put a word somewhere, right? And you probably have, like, it sounds like you take your work very serious, so I'm sure you were along the same lines there. And I always found it frustrating to have to put a paragraph somewhere just because a web developer was like, oh, we're going to put a paragraph here. But then there was no thought behind, like, well, what is that going to say, right? And yeah. So, and of course, everybody is different in terms of their skill to make mix and match that. But what I would kind of do is, and again, like we kind of had an advantage because we would handle the whole process, but we would essentially create the like the basic layout in a Word doc, right? And we would have to be like, okay, like pretend there's an image here, but it's basically just like headlines and like tables and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, we would start with the content, but building it around the potential wireframe that would kind of go next, essentially. And so it might not be like the full content, but at least we know it's like, okay, here's going to be like the about us section, then we're going to link to the services, then we're going to have this sort of thing that's going to sell this and whatever, right? Now, when people come to you, obviously they're doing SEO, are you dipping into like sales copywriting and that sort of thing, or is it more so like on the content side of things?
Mostly landing pages. So if people want sales copy, it'll be like for a landing page. And often if they don't come to me with a page outline already, sometimes I'll make one for them. I'll be like, you don't have to follow this, but this is just what I envision for your landing page.
And right.
Sometimes I can make it easier because then I know where to slot things in that case, because I've made the outline.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely true. It's nice when you can get that control and you kind of get that client who's kind of on board and they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Let's roll with that. That's awesome. Now in your, in the opening, you mentioned that you specialize in the tech and finance industry. Was that intentional? Did you kind of fall into those sectors? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, it was sort of, it was an intentional because that's what I'm interested in. I think, I know there's generalists out there, but I would strongly suggest if you want to get into freelancing that you pick a niche or a couple of niches that you're interested in, because one of the beautiful things about copywriting is that you can constantly be learning new things. Tech, for example, I just love knowing what's on the horizon in terms of like new tech services. And finance, I just love learning about that because I like to think I can put that into my own life. Like if I learn about stock trading or something, like I can use that in my own life.
Right, right.
Whereas I am doing some SEO work for like a parenting site right now. And it's just not fun because I'm not like, I don't care about this subject.
Right.
Even though I'm learning a bunch about it, it's like I'm not interested in it. So I always like to stick to the stuff that I like to learn. You will be learning a lot. And yeah, you might as well learn about stuff that you're interested in.
Yeah, I found that too, just being in SEO and like having to, I ended up specializing in a couple niches, but before that, just kind of working with anybody. And even after specializing, if a random referral would come in, we would typically work with them if they had the budget. And the amount of just random knowledge I have about the most like one-off industries out there is, it goes pretty deep because you have to know this stuff to be able to generate the content and build the website for them and figure out the value propositions and really get into their customer's head, right? So yeah, it is quite interesting.
Yeah, I always found it was funny. One of my main clients, he had a drug testing business down in mm-hmm. San Diego. And like for years, I was an expert in drug testing, even though I had like no interest mm-hmm. in it. But
right.
I could tell you everything about like at-home drug testing kits.
That's too funny. Now, in terms of going back a little bit, so you mentioned you wanted to head in that direction to kind of look more for retainers and less for the more like the contract work. What yeah. have you done? Like, how does that impact your, maybe the way that you attract clients or the way you work with clients? Like, how are you going to get to that point where you know how much money you're going to make each month because you have those retainers in place?
Well, it's just whenever I said I get a new client, I always, you know, broach the subject about like, if, would you like to work together for like sort of longer periods? Also, I think on my site, I think I also mentioned that I prefer retainer work as well. I think once you get to a certain point and you have like a certain amount of experience, you can just kind of switch over to retainer work and just like tell clients straight up, you know, like I work on a retainer basis, even though I do still take like one-off contracts, but my preference is for retainer work. And if you get a client who likes your work and likes working with you, then they generally have no problem, you know, having a contract for a few months at a time.
Gotcha. And then that would like, be,
sorry, like go you ahead. Have to work together forever. I mean, if you work together for 3 months and then they want to renew, then you go from there.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And then like in terms of that, would that typically be like ongoing blog content?
Yeah, usually like blogs and articles. Because I mean, obviously, if you do a website, you do the website and then that's it. But they might need like blog stuff later.
Right. Gotcha.
So it's usually ongoing work like that.
Okay. Interesting. And then would you ever get into like email copywriting? Is that something you'd touch?
I've done email copywriting in the past. I'm not crazy about it. It's not really my forte, so I don't advertise services around email too much. So I don't really enjoy writing emails.
Right. Okay. Now, in terms of just being an entrepreneur, you write your own paycheck, you're out there, you eat what you kill. Are there anything that you do on a regular basis to stay, like maybe keep a sound mind, like stay healthy, stay positive, stay motivated? What does that look like? What does your routine look like?
I try to, even though I make my own hours, I try to keep regular business hours. Mm-hmm. And that's just largely a practical thing because people are like business people work on business hours. So I get up at the same time every day and I have a basic routine I follow throughout the day. I try not to, I mean, Mondays, I don't have an alarms. I allow myself to sleep in on Mondays, but, and then I also take holidays too, like Canada Day is coming up and I just tell people, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to be working this. I think it's a Thursday this year and not working weekends and evenings as well. I've had clients that are saying, oh, we can meet on Sunday. And I'm just like, Sunday, like I don't work Sundays. I just try and keep those sort of barriers.
Gotcha. I know
work can sneak into your free time and stuff, but I don't allow that. And like, I don't work weekends. If that's a problem for you, then we don't need to work together.
Right. Okay. So, and then what about like, do you ever find yourself feeling unmotivated? Like maybe like you're going through a dry spell in terms of attracting clients, maybe a big client leaves, maybe a proposal that you wanted to close didn't close. Like, how do you deal with kind of the ebbs and the flows of just your general mood as an entrepreneur?
I think it's important to like, if you feel like you need a day off, even if it's in the middle of the week, that you take that. I know I personally think like hustle culture is poisonous. I'm not one of those people who's like go, go, go all the time. I think if you're not feeling it like on a Wednesday or whatever, and you can just like shut the laptop, go for a bike ride or something, just clear your mind. I've heard that from other people who start businesses and stuff as well. Say they tell me don't be afraid to just like walk away from it. for a day, mm-hmm. and then come back the next day and you're, you know, got a clear mind and you're ready to go.
Yeah, I think the clear mind is important, right? I think like the number of hours is subjective, right? Like some people can work 80 hours and maintain a positive attitude and not feel burnt out. Other people, it's like 40 hours a week and you're like, I'm done, right? And yeah. so, but at the end of the day, like it, in my opinion, it all comes down to how effective are you when you're walking in, right? If I'm walking in, like if I work 100 hours a week, for example, I'm not good, right? Like I am not doing anything productive. I'm making terrible choices. Like it's not good and I'm not happy, right? I'll be looking at my email being like, what was I going to do in here again? And like just not productive, right? So it's like by taking, like by working less hours, I would actually get more done anyways. And yeah, I think that that hustle culture, like it's all for the marketing. It's kind of like that thing that you mentioned, like that six-figure business. It's like, that's all marketing, right? Like at the end of the day, I don't think that's the, like why people continue to succeed, right? Because at the end of the day, like if any, especially a solopreneur, but even a business owner, if they are running, like if they have a team under them and they're always pushing their team to work crazy hours and it's just hustle, hustle, hustle 24/7, take no time off and all that, people are just going to leave. They're not going to stick around because not everybody's built that way.
Yeah, I think actually that getting more work done in less time, I think that's like a psychological thing too. I think I've read that before, where it's better to like take a break, like instead of working steady, you take a break and come back and be fresh, because then you're going to be more focused. Mm-hmm. And you can get more work done in like a focused, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours than say 8 or 10 hours when you're just kind of drained.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. And it's like for me, I know I get less productive after in the afternoon. Right. So sometimes 11 o'clock will hit and I'll take like a 2 hour break. Right. And I'll come back and I'll finish out the day. I'll still work another 4 or 5 hours that afternoon, but I'll come back. It's almost like a second day starting. Right. So I think it is important to kind of figure out your own personal way, how you work, and then kind of steer into that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know some people, some other freelancers, they say that they tend to work in the evening or whatever, because that's their most productive time. And it's like, whatever works for you. Mm. I just feel like for business purposes, though, if you're scheduling meetings and stuff, generally, unless you're working with people overseas, obviously, then it might be easier to have like evening meetings. But like if you're working mostly with people in North America, like keeping regular business hours is pretty helpful.
Yeah, I think so. Like I'm kind of torn on that, because like I'm personally more productive if I work through the night and I'm more creative, I'm more motivated. But then I still wake up early. Like even if I stay up until 5, I'll still wake up at like 9, 10 o'clock or whatever, and I'll get nothing done that next day, right? And I'll be in a terrible mood and I feel sorry for anybody who has to talk to me. And at the end of the day, it's like, and then there's also that other element actually, where it's like then I'm showing up to like a meeting because I have a meeting at 3 p.m or whatever, because it's business hours, and then I show up all groggy, half asleep, feeling jet lagged because I was up all night, right? So I've really learned to not work through the night, like get on that, just like you say, get on that 9-to-5 style schedule and really turn that into the routine. That's really cool, man. Now, in terms of kind of the future of what you're looking to build here, I know you did mention off camera some software endeavors that you're planning. Are there any other things kind of on the horizon that you're striving to build up as you push forward?
Yeah, just the software business. Called Kenzo Kyle, which is two names. One is a character in a short story I wrote. The other is my sea urchin. Kenzo Kyle software. That's about that's basically what I've been working on for the past couple of months. I haven't even been really looking for clients, honestly, for the past few months because I've been so busy on that.
Mm, gotcha. And then what's that going to do?
There's a few different softwares. I think there's like 5 or 6 different softwares, and it's largely geared towards B2B lead generation. Mm-hmm. So it would actually be good for agencies.
Mm-hmm.
I just put up the website recently, kenzokyle.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start really marketing that. that's the big project over the next few months, is like go hard on that.
Nice. I love that. So you're essentially transitioning away from clients to customers then.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to like doing copywriting, business copywriting and stuff, but probably for the next while, it'll be more so for myself than clients. Mm-hmm. I quite like content writing. I quite like doing SEO for other people. So I probably won't leave it completely behind.
Gotcha. That's awesome, man. Well, it's interesting to hear kind of how your setup works for you and kind of what makes you tick. And why don't we close out the show with the final three quick fire questions. And if any of these don't apply to you, you can feel free to pass. Otherwise, just give me your best answer. So number one, what is your favorite business or marketing related book?
It's a book. I actually have a copy right here. It's called Getting Unstuck 101, Transitioning from Employee to Entrepreneur. It's written by, I guess you'd call him a mentor of mine, Serhat Pala. He's the guy that had the drug testing company. Hmm. He's down in San Diego. But that's probably one of the few business books I've even read.
Gotcha. So awesome.
Don't read a ton of business books.
Gotcha. Cool. Number two, are you following any CEOs or entrepreneurs currently?
Just Russell Brunson. I think he's the guy behind ClickFunnels. Mm-hmm. I've been going through a ClickFunnels challenge I just finished today. So basically just him.
Okay. Is that the One Funnel Away challenge?
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, they run those things all the time. It's pretty cool, the setup that they got going.
Yeah, it's only $100 too. I mean, I don't want to like market for him, but I was pleasantly surprised when somebody had told me about it and I went to go check on it, and I was pleasantly surprised to see that it was only $100. I thought it would be way more.
Right. That's awesome. Cool. And then if you listen to business podcasts, what's your favorite business podcast?
I only listen to true crime podcasts. I
Gotcha. Awesome, man. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, and we'll drop your website as well as the software link in the description. And yeah, thanks a lot for coming on.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. Great time.